didn't know I was going to have a sharing about me. But it's good. It helps. We can move this up a little bit here. Okay. I am bigger than Ben, as he pointed out. Need a little bit more space. Oh, gosh. Let's open with prayer. So everyone, open your eyes and raise your heads and put your hands up. Father God, we thank you for this day that we get to come together and worship you and pour our hearts out to you and bless others and to be enriched ourselves. We pray that you would be with us today and right now and for the rest of the day and forevermore in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. See, you didn't expect that. Typically, you close your eyes and you bow your head and you fold your hands. But I think we should open our eyes and we look up to heaven and we should put our hands up just to throw you off guard. That's the only reason. You do it on a roller coaster. Why not do it in church? That's exactly right. So I was praying a little bit last night and this morning about what I should speak about. And while I was praying, I felt like I got some words of knowledge for some people in the room. So I want to start by sharing those. And we'll see what happens with that. So last night I was praying, and I had some pain in my finger, which I shouldn't have had. And so I feel like the Lord was telling me that someone has pain in their ring finger, especially. Either they were it was damaged, or it was or they don't have one. I don't know why I thought of that. Or there's pain there for some reason, either left or right hand. I also felt like there was a pain on the top of someone's foot, like the when you stand up after getting out of a seat, there's pain in your feet. So there's that. I also feel like there was someone who had pain under their left shoulder blade on the back, and when they would raise their hand or their arm a certain amount, they would start to have pain in their left shoulder. And then on a different note, I feel like there was pain in marriage. And I felt like when I said that, that you would, the person or persons would feel it in their heart. They would feel that little tinge of pain that they feel when someone else talks about their relationship or someone else talks about what they're going through, that every time you hear that word, something sticks in your heart, kind of like a little thorn. And God wants to heal that and everything else that I talked about today. If any of that rings true to you, or if there's something else going on in your body that you need healing for, whether emotional or physical, go ahead and stand up. Okay. Okay, so people around them, put your hands on them. We're going to pray for them. Make sure that everyone gets someone to pray for them. Father God, you are the healer. You are our provider. You are the redeemer of our hearts and of our bodies. And as we stand today, admitting that we are in pain and that we do need healing, we do need help, we pray that you would touch us right now, God, that your healing power would touch everyone's body, that your healing power would touch everyone's hearts, and you would remove pain, physical and emotional. Thank you, Father, for your love, that you are willing and able to heal everything. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. You may be seated. I want to talk a little bit about walking with God and what that has meant to me and what I feel like it should mean for everyone. Who knows what the first step is in walking with God? Interaction here. Just yell it out. What's step one? Keep them coming. Salvation. First step is salvation. Repentance. You were right. We want other people to help there. How many know that's just the first step? And we don't just take that first step and then we're done and we're in. And we can settle down for a long life and then wait for heaven. That there's a step that comes after that. I want to talk about several things. I'm going to go pretty quick, so stay with me. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and get them out. And turn to Psalm 18, verse 30. Psalm 18, verse 30. God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is pure. He is a shield to all who take refuge in Him. So first and foremost, I want to establish that the way of God is perfect, and that there's no flaw in His plans for your life. God has a timing for everything. God has a pace that He likes to go at that sometimes we don't understand. And I felt like something He shared with me last night was that sometimes people can confuse His purpose with His pace. And that sometimes because we see what God's trying to do in our lives, that we try to move at a pace that is different than what He wants us to move at. And because you say, okay, God wants me to have a wife, so I'm going to get married as soon as possible. When actually God would much prefer that you work on some personal things in your life before you go ahead and get married. So God has a timing for everything, and we need to make sure that we're not either going too slow or going too fast with that. His purpose will come to pass. Isaiah 46, verse 11. You can turn there. 46. Sorry. Isaiah 46, 11. It says, I call a bird of prey from the east, a man for my purpose from a far country. Yes, I have spoken, so I will also bring it about. I have planned it. I will also do it. So God's plan is determined, and it's not going to be changed by anything that we do. He uses everything that we do to work towards what He wants us to go, where the direction He wants us to go. We can't really make a mistake. I mean, we can do things out of God's will, but if we're going after God and if we're trying to do His will, then everything we do is going to be used. So don't ever think that something you do disqualifies you from the purpose that God has for your life. Really, what I wanted to get to in my walking with God talk was about walking out of pain. During worship, during that song, is why I went back to it. There was about 2 seconds where the Lord said, there's a lot of pain in this room. Sorry. And for about 2 seconds, I could feel it. It was almost like the pain that He feels from us being stuck in our pain allowed me to feel that for like 2 seconds. And that was all I could really handle, because I began crying immediately. And it was during that song, Oceans, where it said, where feet may fail, and we go out into the water. So I want to talk about walking out of pain. Wow. It's one of the steps that we get to take with God, walking out of pain. The first step is realizing that we're broken, realizing that we are in pain. Because a lot of us can live in deception for a long time, thinking that we're not in pain or that we don't have anything that needs helping. A famous quote from Bill Johnson is that the nature of deception is that you don't know you're deceived. So you could be thinking you're doing pretty well, but what you don't know could be killing you. I know I'm making you turn a lot. Let's go to Jeremiah 6:14. 6:14, Jeremiah. It says, they have treated my people's brokenness superficially, claiming peace, peace, when there is no peace. I think that talks to the fact that people don't always understand that the level of brokenness they're in is keeping them from the level of glory they're supposed to be walking in. And it says here that they've treated their brokenness superficially, claiming there's peace when there isn't any peace. And they have covered their pain with lies or with things that comfort that don't actually deal with the pain. And instead of going through their pain, they go around it, or they go under it, or they avoid it completely. And it says that they did that because they were ashamed. They were ashamed of why they were in pain. They were taking on being hurt by someone else as something that they had to carry, as almost punishment for what they did wrong. They accepted the pain to live in it. Chris Valentin says that one of the first steps in releasing our pain is being able to talk to your soul the way that David did. And in the Psalms, we hear David saying, "Soul, rejoice. Soul, why are you downtrodden? Why are you doing this?" He's talking to himself. And that's something that I had actually never heard of until Chris talked about it. You can actually talk to your own soul, and you can figure out why you're in pain. You can figure out what the problem is, and then you can deal with it. Another way to work through pain is understanding that the level of pain you're in does not determine the level of the problem that there is. How many of you know when you have a splinter in your finger? Little teeny piece of wood, or whatever it is, it feels like you need to amputate your hand or something, you know. But it's not that big a problem. And it can really hurt to let your mom take a needle and prick the splinter out, or tweezers, or whatever it is. But it's necessary to sometimes go through pain to receive healing. Second step is talking to Jesus about our pain. It says in Jeremiah 33:3 that God wants to know and share life with us. He wants to know what we're going through. He's already experienced all the pain. He experienced being betrayed, being left alone. So he knows what we're going through, and he wants us to tell him. And there's something about relationship that's kind of funny. Sometimes we say that you should know what I need. You should know what I'm going through. That's not true. Because if we have to tell Jesus what's going on, then I think we have to tell other people. Because he already knows, but he just wants us to tell him. There's a level of vulnerability, just like when we come up to the front and we dance, or we sing out of the mic on our own. Letting other people experience your vulnerability, letting other people experience your relationship with Jesus is very important. Next step is talking to a fellow believer for accountability, to be encouraged, to be built up, to be called up higher. I know for me, one of the hardest things is to tell someone else something that I did or something that happened to me that caused me a lot of pain. The other thing that we do is we often don't talk to someone unless we have a problem. We say, "Oh, I'm going through this, I need to talk to you about it." But actually, we're also called to talk to people when we're doing really well, when we're doing a good job, so we can be encouraged and built up. And so then every time we talk to someone, it means we're talking to someone about pain. We're never going to want to talk to somebody. Because we go, talking to someone means pain. But it should mean community, fellowship. Talking to someone means that you're being encouraged in what you're doing. You're being built up in what you're doing. Walking with God means having intimacy. God is a personal God who initiates love. Sometimes we think, you know, we're the bride. He is pursuing us. And sometimes I feel, I can't get through to God. I can't get through. I keep praying and pressing in. And sometimes you just need to stop all that and let him come to you. God is full of love and he seeks intimacy with us. Next step, walking with God, is you will always arrive where you need to get going, where you need to go. You're always going to get there. Ezekiel 11:19 through 20. You don't have to turn. I'm turning to so many different verses. You can if you want to, but I'm really fast. Sorry, I'll read it again. Ezekiel 11. Ezekiel 19 through 20. and I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them. I will remove their heart of stone from their bodies and give them a heart of flesh, so they may follow my statutes, keep my ordinances, and practice them. Then they will be my people, and I will be their God. I will give them one heart. Put a new spirit within them. Whose spirit do you think he's putting in them? His spirit. God has put his spirit within us. And we all have a different facet of God's face that we get to show and that we get to bring forth. And if we allow ourselves to be trapped in pain, then we'll never actually release the full potential that God has put inside of us. Romans 8:28. This is the last time we'll have you turn, and I'm going to stay here for a while. We all know you don't even have to turn, really. Who can quote it? That, yes. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. Actually, it says here that all things work together for the good of those who love God. God causes all things to work for good. But does God cause all things? No, he doesn't. But he causes them all to work for good. I was talking with a buddy of mine a couple days ago. And he was having some trouble with the goodness of God. Because he recently, at 22, was diagnosed with diabetes. And it was simply because of his diet. He actually had developed it because of the way he was eating. And he was saying things like, I can't believe God did this to me. I guess he's trying to teach me a lesson. I guess he's trying to humble me. And that verse came to me immediately. And I said, God doesn't cause all things, but he causes them all to work together for the good. So what has he done? He's changed his diet. The first step. He's taking his medicine on, obviously, and he's praying, and he's going to the healing rooms every Saturday at Bethel. And he's been going for a couple of months now, and he hasn't been healed. But he's still going. And he said that actually now he is in a better place with God than he was before he had diabetes. Isn't that strange?
When are you going?
God is so good.
When are you going to do it?
Thank you, Jesus. I'm sorry, I'm still stuck on pain. I feel like we're supposed to pray for some people. I feel like there's a lot of people, not just in this room, and I'm included, that have never learned how to walk through pain. And we've only learned how to avoid it and how to medicate, temporarily get by. When we're called to walk without pain, pain is a great motivator, but it's not where we're supposed to stay. We're supposed to be motivated to get out of it. Oh, man. I can feel it. Here's what we'll do. Close your eyes for a minute. I encourage you to do what we talked about earlier, talking to your soul. And for those of you that know you're in pain, you might know what it is. For those of you who don't, I encourage you to talk to your soul right now. And ask yourself what's going on. Father God, thank you for your heart of love. You're crying out with us. You're crying out to us. Let me in. Let me take your pain. Let me show you a better life. So let's do this. Whether you believe it or not, just repeat after me. Jesus, I give you my pain. What are you going to give me in its place? This is not just another Sunday morning. This is an opportunity to turn a new page in your book where you can say, I remember that day I decided to stop living in pain. I decided to deal with it. I decided to confront it. I decided to be done with it and to walk through it. I feel like the Holy Spirit is going to be talking to some of you today about what you need to do, about who you need to talk to. I would encourage you to listen to that small voice because it's going to be really small. And I feel like there's people in this room that need to release people from judgment. They need to release people into forgiveness. There's the two steps to forgiveness. Is one, you say, I forgive you, and then two, you release judgment over that person. And if you can remember the moment where you were hurt, and the person that hurt you or the circumstance that hurt you, and it still brings you pain, and you still don't feel like you need to forgive them, that's because it's still going on. It's an ongoing process. It's not one and done. I forgive you, and it's over. That's just an ongoing process. And there are some of you that have never released someone from 20 years ago. And they're still holding on to that, thinking that it'll bring you some form of comfort. We all know the phrase about when you don't forgive someone, you drink poison yourself, hoping that it will hurt them. And it's not easy. But he'll help you. And he releases grace for what you're going through for right now when you ask him to. Some of you are waiting on the word from the Lord. When he's already given you one a while ago. And he still wants you to do that. Because God never changes. But we do. We change a lot. Later on, we're going to have a time of ministry, and I want to encourage people that what we're talking about is ringing in your heart to come up and to talk to the people that are going to be up at the front about what's going on, about the pain that you're experiencing. I feel a lot of you have pushed it down for so long, you're not even in pain anymore. And it's so deep, you don't feel it, but you still act out of it. You still react to things. I just pray for that numbness to be gone in the name of Jesus right now. And that new heart that God wants to give us in turn for that heart of stone be released right now. I I can still remember things that people have said to me from middle school that hurt me. Little things. Because words have a lot of power. Bill Johnson once said, if you want to raise the dead, only speak life.
Amen.
That's the key to raising the dead. Because the power is in your tongue, and whatever you behold, you become. So if you continually speak death, you'll never be able to raise someone from death. And when someone declares something over you, even at a young age, even if it's something small, it goes right to your spirit. And if you aren't aware and able to, that's a lie, that's not true about me, then it can stay with you for the rest of your life. Some of you still believe things that were spoken about you as a child. And the way that the enemy tried to attack you in your youth was actually the calling that you had for your ministry. And some of you aren't able to walk in that because of it. There's a lot of fire in this room right now. It's really hot. God wants to burn everything up. He wants to reduce everything to ash and then start new. I saw a picture a while ago on the internet of all this ash on a forest floor after a fire, and there were just little green sprouts of grass in the middle of all of the ash. And that sometimes we have to go through fire to get our new beginning. Wow. Hey, Hannah. Can you come up here? Hannah talked to me earlier. Yeah, it was kind of interesting. She asked me, when you do ministry, what do you want me to do? And I said, it's nothing, we'll just do ministry, whatever you feel like you want to do. And ever since she said that, the Holy Spirit said, get her up there. just a moment, sorry. And the vulnerability that you brought into the room is still here. It's almost like the Holy Spirit was waiting. He was waiting for someone to step out. And when you stepped up, he flooded the room. And I just saw this picture of just this wind just flooding into the room and these angels taking up place around the room for what's about to happen to keep everything out. So, I didn't know this. I felt like Hannah had something to say on pain. And apparently it's her whole testimony. So actually I want to let Hannah speak about pain from a first-hand experience. I know we've all been through it, but I feel like her getting healing has activated her prophetic anointing. And so she's seeing what it's like. To come out of pain and to begin to walk in your destiny. And it's one thing to talk about it. And to hear about it. It's another thing to see someone that's done it. To hear their story. And when you release a story, when you release a testimony of what God has done, you're actually prophesying and you're releasing grace into the people that are receiving it for the same thing to happen to them. It says in the Bible that the spirit of prophecy is in the power of the testimony. The power of the testimony is the spirit of prophecy. Sorry. Whew. So Hannah's going to release her testimony real quick. I didn't plan this. And there's people here that need to receive it. And whether you believe it or not, if you just say yes, it'll happen. You'll receive it. Something will happen.
Like I talked earlier about steps. This is the first step for some of you. For some of you, there's so much pain. You can't even enjoy life at all. Nothing is enjoyable to you. And you see everything through a lens of pain. So even something that good happens, you say, well, something bad's coming. And when someone else succeeds, instead of encouraging them, you say, well, they got it. They cheated somehow. Or they lied. I should have gotten that. I did a lot better. It affects every area of your life. I'm going to let Hannah prophesy by releasing her testimony.
Yeah, so I didn't know this was going to happen, but my testimony started when I was really young. Someone very close to me had really hurt me, like emotionally, and just kind of a continual, you know, pouring in of negativity and just a lot of things that really hurt me and kind of turned me off to love. Like, I didn't want love from this person. They did not love me well, so I didn't know how to receive love. So from a very young age, I kind of shut off, like, love. I didn't know how to receive affection. I didn't hug people. I didn't want that. So I kind of turned that off and kind of removed myself from people. I thought for me it would be safer if I put my heart, you know, away where people couldn't see it, because if they can't reach you, then they can't hurt you. But also, if they can't reach you, they can't love you either. So I didn't realize that by shutting myself off. I had shut myself off from pain, but not really, because I also had shut myself off from love, which is the only thing that keeps pain from coming. So instead of stopping the hurt, I just isolated it and kept holding on to it. And so for a long time, I just held on to that, and I didn't like where I was at. Like, I did life, but I didn't really enjoy it. Like, I didn't really know how to fully embrace anything that was going on. And finally, I was just done with it. I couldn't handle it anymore. I was just like, this is not how you live. And that was actually right before I started coming back here, and I started trying to learn, like, more about God and more how to open up my heart again, because I knew that I wasn't living, and that everything I was doing was just coming from hurt, and the way I was affecting other people was just coming from that same place. And if you can't receive love, you also can't give it. So I didn't know how to love other people, and I would hurt people that were close to me without even knowing it. So I went to Bethel, and the first thing I knew was I poured my heart out to God. I was just like, I don't want to hurt people anymore, because I can't feel love doesn't mean they shouldn't feel it for me. But I had to learn. I have to learn how to give love, because all I can do is hurt people, because that's all I know. So the first thing that God did was he took me all the way back to the very first encounter with this person that hurt me. And it was not a fun process. I had to go through each individual experience that I had, and I had to look at each one and tell that person I forgave them. It was really hard, but through each experience, it got a little easier, because every time I gave up holding that against them, every time I gave God a situation and let him heal that, I found that I could receive love from him, that he could love me again, because I was letting him in. And each time it got easier, and even through, like, everything that I went through, that was still, like, the thing that affected me the most, because after that, I can see that person, and I can feel complete love towards them, because I let God take hold of that. And so no matter if they treat me the same way or if they treat me completely different, I can love them, and I can love other people, because I'm not holding on to that. And like Justin said, I'm not poisoning myself because trying to hurt them, not receiving love from them, not trying to give them love because I don't want them to be. I can give them love because I know that I will be fine because God loves me. Amen. And that doesn't have to affect me. So it was just a learning process. Yeah.
Wow. Yes. Thank you. can only give what you have. You can't give something you don't have. That's why God can only give good gifts. But if you don't let love in, what kind of gifts are you going to give to people? That's exactly what Hannah just said. If you don't let love in, if you don't let pain leave, the only gifts you're going to give are going to be out of pain or out of fear. And the spirit behind it is going to be not fun. And a lot of times when I was walking in a lot of pain before I went through something similar that Hannah was talking about in first and second year, everything I would give expecting something back. And unconditional love says, I'm going to give to you even if you take from me. I'm at the place now where I can simply say, I want to just love this person. Just because they're worthy of it. Because that's what God does with us. And we're called to love like God. And he served. And he made himself the lowest. He washed feet. Gave up his life. He took our pain on the cross. And by refusing to walk through our process of pain and receive healing, we're rejecting what he did on the cross. That's really what salvation is. It doesn't end with confessing that he's your Savior and believing that he rose. It's continual and receiving what he does. There's new levels to receive from the cross every day. I think there's a lot of youth in here that have learned this early on, and I'm so happy for them. I feel like they have a lot to release. I actually want to go into youth ministry now. Everyone 25 and under can come to the front. Even if you're, up to the front. And line up. And that's half the church. That's a good sign. And line up.
Justin.
Yeah.
I actually have like a little segment of Kim Walker's sound. It's like,
awesome. Sure. This is good. Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay. We can bunch up all y'all in the aisle. We can like bunch and have like rows of people up here. So keep coming. Keep going coming. From Garrett up, you all have to come more. My goodness. Okay, so this is the ministry team today. And we are here today to serve you and to love you, everyone in the audience. And to hear from the Lord for you. And not expecting anything in return. But you should expect a lot. So I just want to pray for them real quick. Father God, put your hands out, guys. Receive this. I pray that right now you would release the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of wisdom and discernment, the spirit of healing would enter these youth right now, that they would experience your fire, that they would hear from you to bless this church. And I thank you for this incredible amount of youth that just came up here. And it's a testimony to the fact that this generation is not going to be stolen by Satan. That there are people out there, young people, who say, I want to live my life for God. I want to pursue excellence. I want to pursue an intimate relationship with an almighty Father. And I don't want anyone, I mean, we have more than enough up here. I don't want anyone to leave without receiving prayer. Because the spirit of love is here right now. And love conquers everything. It doesn't matter what you're going through. There's healing. If you could put that music on that we were talking about. And Danielle actually wants to do more vulnerable things. she wants to sing, right?
Yes. Can you guys kind of have a clapping beat?
Oh, consuming fire, feel our heart's desire. baptize us. Come baptize us. You're my heart's desire, living flame of fire, all consuming fire. Come baptize us. Come baptize us. All consuming fire, you're our heart's desire, living flame of fire. Come baptize us, come baptize us. And that's it.
We're going to do prophecies from the front before we have you come up. We had one word here, Jordan, and then if anyone else has a word, let me know and we'll share it.
While we were singing Ocean, something is inside of me telling me that someone is feeling an insecurity, a spiritual or emotional insecurity right now. Is anyone maybe in the front or out here feeling an insecurity right now? Like that they're not feeling the word or that something is blocking them? Just something has been pushing on me that's... Let's just pray over that right now. If someone is near you that's feeling that, just put your hands on them. Lord Father, I ask that you just release this insecurity, Lord God. Lord God, anything that is blocking anyone, I just ask that you let that river flow. If there's a dam in the river, Lord God, I ask that you break that dam. Have a fire explosion, break it, Lord God, that it may flow. The river may be able to flow and they may be able to feel you. Don't let anything block your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Let them feel your presence in their life, Lord God, right now. Oh, Jesus. Lord God, I just ask that you just break that dam. Break it. Use explosive and burn it, Lord God. Burn the dam down so it may be able to flow, Lord God. Oh, Jesus. Lord God, I just ask that you just break it. Let the river flow, Lord God. Let the river flow. The river flows so that the tree that's by the river may be able to grow, Lord God, and grow big and grow strong, Lord God, that nothing may scorch it, Lord God, that it may be able to grow. And it's all of these in your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
I actually had a word for Mr. Bob. Yeah, I was actually praying, I think it was two nights ago, I was like, trying to preemptively get ready for church, and I was just like praying a few nights ago actually, and I was just asking God if there's anything you want me to share, and your face popped into my head, and right after it he gave me this picture. Bear with me, it'll be good. So the picture was of a ballet dancer, and they were doing that thing, I don't do dance, but they were doing that thing where they stand on one foot like this and they spin around really fast, but the thing is that he was showing me is when they do that, they look at one thing. Like, they keep their eye on one thing while they're spinning, and that keeps them from getting disoriented by like, all the lights and all the things that are flashing around them. And I felt like God was just telling me that you're that person that's so on point that everything around you can be just spinning and whirling, but because you have your eyes so focused on him, that anything whirling, it doesn't distract you. It may be there, and you know it's there, but you're still so focused that it doesn't distract you, and it doesn't persuade you to leave your path of just walking towards that one thing.
Well, I kind of got a story to tell you guys. So it takes place at Lamb of God, my school, and I've been there for 3 years. So there was this person who was kind of being mean to me, and it went on for 3 years. But before the end of this year, we had a chapel, and people were confessing. And she went up and confessed for what she did, and she really was sorry, and she cried. So I went over to her, and I told her that it was all right. So no matter what you do, God will always be there to forgive you. So never block out the Lord because you've done something.
Actually, it's noon, so I guess we're supposed to formally say that everyone can go if you want to. But we're going to start ministry now. So at the end. The end is the beginning. So we're going to have the kids up here. All of them want to pray for you really bad. And so I welcome you all to come up here and receive from them, receive ministry from them. Most of them walk in extreme prophetic gifting, words of knowledge and healing. They've all been activated in that. If not prior, then they just were when I prayed just now. So so they all walk in it. So we're going to do ministry now. Could you turn up the music a little bit so that we don't hear the what's going on next to us? That's just something we do. So come now and receive. And so you're formally dismissed. Come to receive ministry from these youth. Yes, yeah. Or if any of the youth feel drawn to someone, you feel free to go pray for them.